This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me. That's what you have to become king of, queen of. How do you help your people better become or become better at managing expectations of clients? I wrote this on a board. I'll show you. I'm in my new swanky office here, right? I wrote this on a board. I'll read it out to you. I walked through the door on whatever day it was, Monday, when I came in this room, and I wrote this on the board to try and explain some of this to them. Here it is. You can write this down. Not managing is having people do jobs without your oversight and involvement. I put it to some of my staff that they were keeping me from things, and I wasn't able to get involved in providing an oversight that I'm good at. I have a global view of the world. I have a global view of 5 or 6 businesses. I have a global view of however many masterminds and coaches that I've got and people I talk to and books I've read. I've got a wonderful strategic oversight of problems and challenges. To keep me out of that is nuts. But what you realize is they think that they're doing you a favor because they're keeping you out of problems. So the intention is good, but it doesn't necessarily make progress. Underneath that is micromanaging. So let's just get some clarity on this. Micromanaging is telling people who work for you exactly what tasks to do or doing them for them. Micromanaging is telling people who work for you exactly what tasks to do or worse, doing it for them. You have to find a beautiful middle ground between not doing any of that, but making sure that the staff know not to cut you out and your oversight and your judgment and your involvement of it. I can have a conversation with you about it without telling you what to do or actually doing it for you. If people are leaving you, I bet you're micromanaging them. You're telling them what to do and you're making them feel inferior. You're making them feel useless. If you can get involved with conversations about oversight and look, this is my view of it. And like, if it was me, I'd probably go this route and, you know, I might try this. Why don't you try this? Or think about it like this. This is how the client might take that. Or if you say this, be careful. That's oversight. That's also a coaching conversation. But if I'm immediately going, oh, just give me the phone, I'll do it. Tell them this. And there's no explanation behind it. And there's no teaching behind it. There's no principles behind it. There's no help me let you understand it so that you can, in the next situation you're in like that, you can actually do this without me. Then this business grinds to a halt. This just becomes a clusterfuck and nobody moves on. So how do you get from B to A or A to B? Budget, actual. The gap is the middle. The gap is the challenge or the obstacle between this thing that you've designed, this machine. You've built a machine. Whatever it's producing, you've built a machine. If it isn't making as much as you would like, it's because it's got a faulty part in it somewhere. There's a piece missing. There's a piece not working properly. In the case of this business, there was pieces missing. There was a piece called a full-time physio and a piece called a full-time front desk. Both of their problems would be solved if they'd put that piece in and then coached and worked on that person. If they didn't, that business would have been running like that for the next 5 years and they'd have probably chucked the towel in and said, this doesn't work. Nobody wants to pay cash in my town. You just can't get business to be right in my town. It's like, I'm sorry, it isn't. There's two parts missing in this business. You just didn't have the strategic oversight to see it. You didn't have the story. How you started the business is what got you stuck in the business halfway through. And I guarantee you, 50% of you staring at me right now are in that same boat. The little models, the little pieces that you put together to get to this point were fine. The little Lego set we built. Now we need just that extra little piece, that extra solid foundation somewhere. Ops manager, full-time marketer, whatever it is that you need. That's the bit that's holding you back. You out of patient care. The reason that they keep leaving, you're not giving them the coaching. You're not giving them the guidance. You're not giving them the attention that they want. You can't be the biller, the accounts receivable person, the front desk person, full-time physio, do some marketing on your side and still put your arm around some patients. You need somebody to put their arm around you. And I'm hoping that's the bit that people so many of you were so close to just tipping over to that next liftoff, if you like, in the business, that is probably one or maximum two good people away from getting you there. And it's beautiful at the other side. There's so much more freedom. The business grows so much faster. You can make better decisions, clearer decisions, safer decisions, but you can't do it if you're always having to keep going back into the people problem. You've got to get closer to the people. And ultimately, all the numbers are doing is telling you what you need to say, how much time you need to spend with them, whether or not it's been heard. You'll figure it out when you get there. The world, again, I generalize sometimes, but the general view of it for me, of what I've seen, people are really good at solving problems as long as they know what it is. They're so useless at it because they haven't got a clue what it is right now. That they're all fixing the wrong shit. Business and in life. I've got an itch on my left leg, so I'll blame my right leg. I'll put a bandage on my right ankle. And you might get a bit of sympathy, but it's probably not going to solve your problem. So as a business owner, you've got to get to the corner of the room. And that's all you're trying to do. And I'm trying to make it as simple for you as possible. Whenever you get your numbers, whenever you get your cockpit, whenever you get your stuff off your, whoever it is, your accountant, whenever you get it, all you're trying to do is get to as close to the corner of the room as possible where the spider is. Stay there for long enough, you will find that spider. But what most are doing, they're running around the big fucking hotel looking for a spider and they're spending all year doing it. And by the time that they found it, there's another spider appeared somewhere else. Numbers are just people's behavior unraveled. They're just telling you that you thought they were there. They're telling you that they are there. Your job in the middle is to coach them as far across to your side as is possible. Numbers are really not that spooky. The second one is the trend. All you ever want to know is the trend. How to read numbers. Follow the trend. Game over. That's it. And ultimately get to the one or two, three maximum obstacles or challenges that are in the way between you getting what you want and where you are today. Think of yourself as somebody who problem solves for a living. You will make unbelievable progress in life. Not somebody who shies away from progress or from problems. Somebody who tackles problems head on. Not in a weird way that you're fucking looking for problems, like, you know, some people do like the drama of it. Good problems, growth problems, people problems, marketing problems, staffing problems, they're all great problems from a business owner's point of view. And they're gonna follow you for the rest of your life. So you might as well face up to them. And like I said this morning in the opening slides, embrace it. Embrace it and you'll fix it within a week. Struggle with it, it'll take you a year and you'll still be in a year's time asking me for... how do I solve this front desk problem? It's like, we're going to have to embrace it. Any questions? Everybody happy?
You've stunned them.
Just give me 2 minutes on it. What have you wrote down? What have you got? What's your thoughts, Michael or anybody? I hate leaving sessions where I haven't got some feedback on it. What I'm trying to get across to you as well, you know, the numbers are fab, right? But obviously it's as a manager, how are we going to use this? I'm trying to share with you that your staff probably struggle to bring problems to you unless you facilitate the environment to bring it out. And that again is one of the things that you've got to switch on to. They'll always tell you everything's all right until it's not.
Right, what have you got? I'm gonna come pick up someone. Donald, what have you got?
Hiya, Paul.
Hey, Donald.
Micromanaging, big one.
Yep.
I suppose. Yep. Telling people what to do instead of coaching them through it. I think definitely guilty of that one. It's just kind of, you know, this is how we do it rather than explaining the pretense of why we do it and the background behind it. It was interesting what Nikki was saying about Bupa. So that's definitely something we can look at with excess payments and stuff like that, because even chasing the excess payments, the time it takes, etc.,
yep,
is just, it's for 30, 35 quid a session. You know, it's just it's a waste.
Good. What else? Who else? Give me two more.
Gareth, what have you got?
Hey, Gareth. Hi.
Yeah, fix the causes, not just the effects of causes.
Yeah.
It's like level, it's like the problem behind the problem. I think a lot of us could find lots of problems in this business, but then I guess the real challenge is finding like the one.
The domino.
Yeah, the one that kind of starts it off. Yeah, and trends more important than specific months. Obviously, like in this example, like what the month of August and the 3 month rolling was actually okay, but the year was trending negatively. So it's like being aware of like maybe like seasonal variations.
Yeah.
Which obviously with a few years behind you is helpful, but if you don't have that, how could you maybe anticipate that?
Yeah, you deal with what you've got. Again, it's like if you've only got 3 months, you've only got 3 months. Like that's it. Like that's what I've got. That's all I've got to deal with at this point is 3 months worth of trends. If that's the case, but the more I commit to that, pretty soon I'm going to have a year's worth of trends and 2 years worth of trends and 3 years worth of trends, and you'll be able to pull these sort of seasonal things together quite quickly, and it won't always feel like it's hitting you blindsided. It isn't. Like most of us are knowing what's coming. It's again, can we anticipate it?
Tommy, what have we got?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey. I suppose in general from this morning, I would say the key thing is just that you're only as good as the staff that you have.
Fantastic, yeah.
Not like you said, get some staff in and going, right, now we can go back to patients, which... yeah, like just more time and investment in the staff really is where the attention needs to go, and then they put their time and attention into the customers.
Yeah, I love it. What I might add is this. So you're only as good as your staff, right? I might just get people to insert this little thing at the front. You're only as good as the relationship with your staff. Really. Because the staff could be really good, but if they don't want to work for you, you've got a mutiny. You've all seen this in football teams. Fantastic players. They want the manager out. If you want that manager out as a footballer, right, you guys will know that, Steve, and anybody who's been around football. If them players want that manager out, they fucking get them out, right? So they're good players, but they don't, you know, look at what happened to, was it Eric, the dude at Man United, Mourinho, Chelsea. Like, as soon as they don't like him, fuck you, like, you're out. But Mourinho 20 years ago, when he had a great relationship with all the Chelsea players, you know, back in the day, how successful were they and him? So something fundamentally wasn't right. It's not that he wasn't a bad manager and they weren't bad players. The relationship between the two of them obviously didn't work. So I think that's what you're focusing on as a business owner, is the relationship between the two that you've got, basically. A relationship with your people.
I want to get a slightly different perspective, Cara.
So I think it's just a full circle. It's kind of what you said in the beginning, and what I've unfortunately been trying to tell Avery is, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your people, then they can't take care of what's going on around them, and then it comes back right back to you. So you've got to have your staff not only function and be okay coming to you, but your staff also has to protect you so that you can protect your time and you can move the business forward as well.
Yeah.
It's this whole circular problem that has to be solved.
Love it. What I would finish on this is this point, right? So we've got today to somehow, we were talking about numbers and, you know, the arrival rates and all these things, but it's always going to go back to people. The conversation is always going to go back to management of yourself and of people. And my caveat on it is this: the problem you're going to have with this people thing, there's never, ever, you can never spend enough time with them. Doesn't matter what you do, you could always spend more, right? And that's the problem. So the dilemma, but it also puts it into perspective how important it is that there's never, ever too much time spent with your team, right? So like that gives you this open-ended, like if you think that half an hour was all right, like you could probably have done an hour and it would be better. If you did 2 hours, like you could have done three. So I'm trying to help you see how important it is that it's this battle you'll never, ever win. And there should always be a gremlin that's like, shit, I need to spend more time with Simon. I should have an extra call with Simon every week. I should speak to insert the blank more often. Now, obviously, you can't, you know, you can't be spending every minute of every day. But in theory, it wouldn't be practical, but we'd like to, is the premise I'm trying to give you. I'm trying to move you towards that way of thinking. that, like, if you can, if in doubt, the best use of your time is just walk around and start talking to people. How are you? What's going on? What's happening? What can you tell me? How's your life? How's this? What are you hearing? What's going on inside the business? What's this? What's the other? The more that you can do that, the more that you'll get that open kind of dialogue going and conversation, and the more that you're able to help people.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.